the RAP. If you's a real motherfucker, this the place to be. You know you're never really sure what these dudes will say. Hosted by Zach Amico and Louis J. Good old man's for Prez, cause he talks that real shit. When it comes to comedy, man, he's the Joan Jett. Zach holding it down, he's known as a sniper. Got you laughing so hard you might need a diaper. Mondays at noon and every Wednesday too. You got these two coming through to entertain you. Talking to guests and the topics are jamming. Right. And Louis loves giving shit to his producer Shannon. The superstar worldwide, yeah, Amico slamming. And you never know what the PR rattlesnake is planning. So here we go, yeah, you know we're ready to rock. Because the Real Ass Podcast is about to drop.
Woo! Oh shit, motherfuckers. It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez, coming through live on Skype, Real Ass Podcast. You think I'm going to fucking not show up for the show? You think I'm not going to show up for the show and do a show with my fucking favorite friends in the world? My favorite show, the Real Ass Podcast? Are you fucking crazy?
Doesn't it feel like Louis is dead and he's just gone into the internet world?
Also, look, it makes him look like a giant head next to your body on the screen. It's fucking hilarious.
That's your head Shannon. Looks like it goes on my body.
That's because Shannon does not know how to produce and fucking she should have set up these shots initially. And we're going to get into that today. Look.
You mean the shot that you set up in your own hotel room?
Zach, don't fucking get cocky because I'm not there, you cocksucker. Let me explain to you something, okay? I'm setting up a shot at my hotel room. I don't know what the fuck Shannon's seeing. So don't – it's actually not me being wrong, you fucking dick cock fucking faggot bitch.
Wow.
Okay? It's actually Shannon should say as a producer of the show, hey, just so you know, these are the shots. Let's back the camera up a little bit. We got your big fucking bulbous fucking black guy nose too close to the camera. But she doesn't care.
I agree. Shannon's insolent.
She is insulated.
I like your hotel room. Looks pretty nice, though.
It's not bad. I'm staying at the Borgata.
Oh, really? Is that why? It looks like a fancy hotel. It looks like you have a terrace, or do you not?
I do not have a terrace. I think you're looking at my bathroom behind
me. Okay.
Right, that's fine. It is a very nice hotel room. I'm having a really good time in Atlantic City. I did not want to skip a show or just do another solo show from my room, so I decided to Skype in today. International superstar Zach Amico is back in New York. Shannon, are you on the Shannon cam today?
Yes.
Okay, get on there. Show the fans what's up. Give them some fucking eye candy, Shannon. Do a little dance.
No. Nope.
Just shake a little bit. Do like a little, hey, boys. Give them something, Shannon.
No, that's it.
Just smash your boobs together and make throating noises.
Gross.
We need to get a light on that camera.
I know it's bad.
I was talking to Zach. Zach, smash your tits together. We're going to have a fun show tonight. I don't care. Look, here's the thing. I wanted Ralph to come on today. Because we are at a time right now with the podcast network where we have a lot going on. And I figured, you know, you're in the studio. We should take the time once in a while to kind of address the fans and let everyone know what's going on. I feel like the Real Ass Podcast, being the number one alt-right Christian podcast in the country, I feel like this is probably the place to do it because we speak to the masses. I feel like the most hardcore fans listen to this show, and that's why we invited Ralph on today. So welcome, Ralph Sutton.
Thank you for having me, and I look forward to all the hate tweets within an hour of the show.
Oh, no, Ralph. People understand. My fans, the Real Ass Podcast fans, they are the most hardcore of the hardcore gomites. They're not assholes. They're not people that are like, oh, why the fuck is this guy in that show? The Real Ass Podcast fans trust me to take them on a mental journey every single week, okay? Twice a week, actually. And we take them on to different places, and they know to let go. They know, hey, you're not in control here. You don't have the steering wheel. You're not going to be able to shift. You're not going to be able to use the clutch. You're sitting back. You're not even putting a seatbelt on because we like it a little bit dangerous.
Lewis is running out of driving terms.
The Puerto Rican rattlesnake is going to fucking downshift.
You don't need a cup holder.
I'm going to use my windshield wipers.
My glove box is full.
Shut up, Ralph. You should appreciate the fact that I'm using unbranded analogies.
I know. I do appreciate that. I do. You're the one that wanted us to drop the hashtag, and I still like it.
I really hate the hashtag, Ralph. So, Ralph, here's the thing. We have Gas Digital, and Ralph, here's what Ralph is really good at. Ralph is very good at branding, and Ralph is really good at he understands what it takes in order to build a brand for a show, and you've done so for years with shows like the Tour Bus and SDR Show. But sometimes you just take it a little bit too far. So when we started the company and called it Gas Digital, Ralph was like, yeah, dude, everything, man. We'll call the studio the gas station, and we'll have our hashtag plug in fuel up. Nobody's ever used the hashtag plug in fuel up.
not once. Not even a little bit. I have, but I don't even think I do it anymore.
If you're the only person who uses the hashtag, it doesn't count. It's embarrassing.
That's true. I agree. I rescind my stance on it. I apologize.
So, guys, just remember for future branding, it's gasdigitalnetwork.com, hashtag Ralph is gay.
Yes. I bet you that one goes quick.
That one people will jump on board with, guaranteed. So, look, Ralph, you're back in New York right now, and I'm not there, unfortunately. But I will say I'm very, very excited to come back and see the progress that's been made with the studio. Here's the thing. Let's give some people some updates. Before we get into the show, before we do plugs, let's just give some people some updates about what's going on with the world of Gas Digital, the studio, the app, the website. Because as you guys know, on May 1st, we are raising the price. The cost of the network is going to go from $7 baseline to $8.50. And then you save, right now it's $6 if you use the promo code RAP. And obviously with the membership to Gas Digital, not only you're supporting the show directly by using that promo code RAP, and it really matters, guys. Use my fucking promo code RAP. But you are also getting access to some pretty incredible content. We have the latest 10 episodes of the podcast available on iTunes. You can watch this for free on Gas Digital and SD every week. We have all of our live streams free, but the members get the entire on-demand library, every episode we've ever done, over 250 episodes of the Realist Podcast alone, over 350 episodes of Legion of Skanks, SDR Show, Tim Dillon is Going to Hell, Believe You, Meet with Michael Bisping, The Roastmasters, all these incredible shows. You have access to every episode we've ever done, on-demand, HD video. That's the real big meat and potatoes of what you're getting, but you also get ad-free episodes. They come out 5 days before they go to iTunes or Google Play, so you get a pre-release on them as well. And other little member benefits, live chat, message board, all that good stuff. So go to gasdigitalnetwork.com, use the promo code RAP, and you're going to get it for $6 a month right now. That means you're really saving $2.50 a month, because as of May 1st, we're going up to $8.50 a month, which was a decision that we made, Ralph. A little while ago, we said the amount of money that we've invested into the business. Obviously the talent that we have, the podcast that we've brought onto the network, the studio downtown, the application, the new website, the
piles of cocaine.
What'd you say? Piles of coke?
Yes.
Yes. Russian hookers, cock rings, lawyers to get us out of the cases
involving the cock rings and the piles of coke.
Yeah, of course. So, we're raising it, and what we didn't want to do is we did not want to raise the cost for all of the people that have been here for the past couple of years with us that have kind of gone through the hard times of Gas Digital, where we didn't have the website working, we didn't have an app, we didn't have the things working the best they could be, and now things have been really, really smooth for a little while, and we feel like it's the time, but we want to reward the people that are in early, and we want to grandfather you guys in. So that's why we're doing that.
Yeah, we still have a shit ton of people that are spending $2.50 that were the original subscribers that before we even thought about, we had that single channel membership, as we called regular fuel as opposed to high octane fuel. Thank you for my branding. There's still a lot of people that still have that. And I got an email yesterday from someone saying he can't believe that he gets to still have that membership. But that's what you and I decided at first, is always they're going to put the listener first, the fan first, then the content creator, and then us. And that's part of this whole dynamic that we've been doing for 2 years.
Yeah, and we're really excited about it. And the studio, real quick, Ralph, just give a quick update on the studio. I don't know if the people even fucking really give a shit, but where are we at right now with the studio and the progress?
Well, I mean, if you follow me at I Am Ralph Sutton, I do put up an update once a week about the build out there. But literally today, this may sound boring to most people, but I'm excited. The couch just arrived, and I sent Harrington and Hutch over to put the couch into the studio. The water's running, like in the bathroom and in the kitchen. All the electrical equipment is wired and into the walls. All the computers, all the audio video equipment, all the tables are all coming in next week. And then we think we need probably, I would imagine, 7 to 10 days to organize all that, you know, and make it all, make sure it works. And I think realistically, first week of May, we are testing shows. And by May 15th, the shows are going to be there. That's what I think is going to happen.
Pretty fucking incredible. So I want to say thank you to all the people that have been listening and supporting for a long time now. It's because you guys support the shows, we're able to go and do this. And one of the things that we're doing with the studio, the reason it should matter to the fucking fans is because, you know, once we are able to have a space up and running, we're actually building two studio spaces. We could honestly record 3 or 4 podcasts at once with the way we're going to have it set up. It's going to enable us to really get creative. It's going to enable us to really, you know, push the producers to their limits, push the shows to their limits, have shows go outside of the box. You know, a lot of the times right now, it's simply a time issue where people can't get into a studio to do extra bonus content. There's a lot more that we're able to do and accomplish having a dedicated studio space. Beyond that, having an entire team that is cohesively working full time versus, you know, Bobby comes in for 4 hours or 6 hours on Mondays, and then, you know, Shannon's here during your shows, and then fucking, you know, having a team in place at all times to make sure things are working the right way, it's going to kill it for everybody. So we're very, very excited. And I wanted to just take a couple minutes at the beginning of the show to kind of update people on that, let people know what's going on with that. Also, the app right now is, when is it coming out of beta, Ralph?
Well, we just pushed an update out, which I think will populate in about a week. And then if that one looks good, then I think also everything's in theory coinciding with May 1st, where the price raise happens, the app comes out of beta. We have a fully new website that is launching, and it's all should be happening at the same time with the studio opening. I think that's what we're trying to coordinate everything for May. And that's one of the things that I've been telling people is, realize when we started, for it was 256 and 7, we had 4 shows and we had about 10,000 listeners a week collectively, which is crazy. When you think about 2 years later, we are 15 shows and I think it's 250,000 listeners a week. I'm sorry, 750,000 listeners a week. We're nearing 1 million across all the shows. We have an Alexa skill. We have an app. We have all these things that we did not have before. And I would say this as I'm knocking on the table, I think it's 4 months now without a single streaming issue.
Great job, the entire team. So
Shannon's shaking her head no.
Are you saying no, Shannon? I will punch
you
in the face.
You're jinxing it. I hate when you guys do this.
I knocked on the table.
Shannon, if you ever speak, put yourself on camera and do a little dance while you're giving us a...
Yeah, even if it's important, do a dance while you're doing something important.
Shannon, seriously, anytime you speak, I want you on camera from now on this show, because I'm out here. Okay. We have a visual element to the show. People want the visual element, okay? So the Shannon cam is a very big, important part of this show and why people would subscribe, okay? So Shannon, if you want to make a point, even if you're disagreeing with us, when you come back on camera, I want you to be like, no, you guys are idiots. You guys are totally
Whip
wrong.
Whip those tits out, bitch.
Jesus Christ, Ralph.
She signed the document.
No, I didn't.
By the way, that shot of Shannon, bring that shot up. It really looks like her kid's going to walk in on her doing a cam show.
All right. What else? Anything else happening in May? We can't technically announce the web series yet.
Yeah, I think we have potentially two new shows coming on board. I started talking to somebody that I would be thrilled to get on the network. I don't know if you want me to say it or not, but
can you mouth it to me?
I think everyone will see it. I'll say it. I don't care. I've been talking back and forth via email with DMC of Run DMC to do a show, which would be fucking amazing because he is a legend.
That's incredible. We need some more music shows as well. Yeah, always looking to expand programming. Unfortunately, lost a couple shows. Shame on, obviously. Bruce Buffer. We love Bruce Buffer. We wish him the best. He's no longer going to be with the network. For some reason, it just was a show that just never connected with our fan base. His fan base never really jumped over to our shows. It didn't make sense, and he was offered an opportunity, and we, you know, we honestly just wish him the best, and we want him to take advantage of whatever opportunities are available to him. So God bless Bruce Buffer. But we are talking to some pretty incredible shows right now, bringing on some more shows. And Ralph, I'm going to do this right now, and you can tell me no all you want. I'm announcing one of the features on the app that's going to be after we launch it.
Okay, you can do that.
My favorite feature.
Is it? Oh, I know what it is. So you can announce it. That's definitely happening. That's not happening when it officially comes out of beta. That will be happening in the next iteration.
Within the next couple months, what we're going to be doing on our app is we're including a feature where you can plug in any RSS feed, so you only need the Gas Digital app. Okay, so you don't need to download whatever. I don't really download podcast apps, but you, once you have the Gas Digital app, you can take your favorite, if you're a Joe Rogan fan or a Shafir fan, whatever, plug in their RSS feeds to the Gas Digital app, and they will populate in a separate field for subscribers and non-subscribers. So you don't even have to be a subscriber in order to use that feature, but you will only need one podcast app, the Gas Digital app.
Yeah, and what we're doing also is that, so we have a really good developer, and I'm sure if you've downloaded the app that came out about 2 weeks ago, the new version, the new look, he is very, very on top of us fixing problems, adding features. If someone emails me something that they found an error or there's an issue, I send it to him, and like within a few days, it's fixed.
Yeah, pretty incredible. So I know that's the long, boring fucking state of the podcast network address, and I wanted to just let some people know what's going on behind the scenes. Go subscribe right now. Use the promo code RAP. What about Ralph? Does the thing that we emailed, does that promo code only work for former subscribers?
Anybody can use it.
No, I don't want to tell. Never mind.
Well, let's put it this way. I'm not saying anything, but if you ever subscribed to this network in the past 2 years and unsubscribed, there is an email potentially in your spam folder, because that happens once in a while, that gives you a promo code that gets you a 30-day free trial to come back and try the network. That doesn't give away anything, Lewis.
Yeah. All right. Beautiful. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about some things going on in the world. This is one story that I have not talked about with anybody yet, but it's sort of driving me out of my mind. And tell me I'm maybe I'm crazy about this, okay? But this Starbucks story, was this in Philly?
Yes, it was.
Okay, so here's what I know about it so far. There was two guys in a Philly Starbucks, and I guess there's a video of them being removed by cops. And the story goes, these two guys were waiting for some friends to show up at a Starbucks, and they hadn't purchased anything. Or had they? Does anybody know if they had actually purchased anything?
No, they didn't purchase anything.
They didn't purchase anything. They were asked to leave. They wouldn't leave. The cops came. It got to the point where they're being arrested in handcuffs.
And they're black. You left out you buried the lead on that one.
Well, no, they're black. But in my opinion, that's sort of inconsequential.
Not according to every headline that I read.
Right. It should be inconsequential because I'm not a fucking racist jerk off. It's when you hear that story and you go, okay, there's two. I don't know how old the guys were. Shannon, look up the details on this because I would love you to give me. We're really guessing the news on it, but I don't want to slow down the system by playing all these fucking musical bits right now while I'm Skyping in. But. You know, here's the thing, and I saw the guys. I guess one of the people that were tweeting about it in the news were like, these were two real estate agents. The one guy had fucking like cornrows. He was a thuggy looking dude. Okay, don't give me this fucking bullshit. If you're a real estate agent and that's how you're showing up to work, you don't fuck it. You're not doing very well. Okay?
Maybe, maybe
he is.
Right?
Maybe he isn't. But anybody, I've been a teenager my whole, I spent 10 years or 8 years being a teenager. I know what it's like to go into a place to waste some fucking time, wait for a couple buddies and be asked by management to leave because I haven't purchased anything. And there was never a part of me that was like, this is because I'm brown. This is because I'm a man. This is because whatever fucking reason. It was always because, oh, I'm not purchasing something and this is a place of fucking business.
Is that really all that happened? Because I know that all I heard was that two black dudes got arrested for being in a Starbucks. Is that what it is? They were loitering?
Sorry.
Shannon, do you have any more details on this? Am I crazy?
It's like all of the new articles that keep coming up have to do with the police apologizing and Starbucks apologizing. But all that I'm reading basically is that they were doing some work in the Starbucks. That was it. And then that somebody called and said that they were trespassing, and that's what led to them being removed.
Somebody called and said they were trespassing. So what, the management of the store didn't come up to them?
No, it was the store manager called the police because the two men were sitting in the store without placing an order is what it said.
I mean, did the manager of the store ask them to leave first?
Hold on.
Find that out. Because here's the thing. If the manager of the store simply called the cops without asking them to leave first, then I will say that's fucked up and that Starbucks, look, it's not a, here's the thing. No, Starbucks does not deserve to be sued. Starbucks, to be honest with you, doesn't fucking need to make an apology. The reality is I own a business and I know what it's like. you know, if you make that decision, it's a really poor business decision, and you are asking to be sued. This is a game we're playing. Where, right, let's say you're playing the game of Monopoly, right? You have to fucking, if you land, or if you land and go to jail, you got to go to jail. Simple as that. And you're playing, you can't go like, oh, come on, man. You know, I don't. What were you going to say, Shannon?
I didn't say anything.
Oh, I'm just hearing myself speak. So does it say if the manager asked them to leave?
No, I'm not seeing it. I see that the manager doesn't work there anymore.
Yeah, I heard that, that they removed the manager. They didn't say if they fired him. I just don't think he's at that store anymore is what they said.
Yeah.
They transferred him to Camden. Yeah.
he's not working at a Kennedy Fried Chicken.
Am I wrong, Lewis? Do you know, like, I'm pretty sure that if you're an owner of an establishment, it is a private establishment. You could refuse whoever you want. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I believe you can. For whatever reason, it says you can refuse service for anybody. And I kind of believe in that rule. In a weird way, I kind of believe that. If you own a business and you don't want a person in your business for whatever reason, you sort of have that right. I also kind of believe that you should be able to put hidden cameras in your bathroom toilet to look at girls' pussies. It's your home.
Well, thank God. It is my second bathroom, and that's why they're there.
I was thinking about that the other day because, like, I'll be in, like, a bathroom sometimes, and I'll be like, there could be a camera in here, and then you go, okay, that's against the law, I'm sure, in every state. Shannon, are there any states in which we can move the studio to? We could put hidden cameras in the bathroom.
Do you know why I want a hidden camera in the bathroom, Lewis? Did Shannon tell you what happened to our bathroom here?
No, what happened?
So I never use the main bathroom that everyone uses. I never go in there because I use my bathroom because I don't want to be in that bathroom.
You're not a peasant.
I'm not a peasant like you regulars using the regular bathroom. So the last time someone used it was Friday. And then the next time someone looked at it was when Shannon came here Monday. She comes out of the bathroom Monday morning and goes, what's up with the toilet? I said, what are you talking about? We go in. A full-size towel was shoved into the toilet bowl, and the lid was closed down.
No.
And I don't know how that happened or why. There was no shit in there. It was a clean toilet, but a towel in and the toilet. So it actually was. It wasn't like it was open. Someone closed it. I don't know what happened. I just threw out the toilet towel.
I think the toilet's alive and was eating a towel.
That's possible, too.
You remember in Look Who's Talking To, where they were teaching him to potty, and the toilet would go, sit on me, sit on me, come on, let me eat your child butt.
I think that's reason enough to have a camera in the toilet, in the bathroom. I want to know how that happened.
Shannon, are there any states in which we can legally put a camera in the bathroom of your residence or business?
Residence, I'm sure you can.
Oh, hold on, I'm checking.
Residence, you cannot. Wasn't there a famous guy, like a black Barry. Singer? Chuck Berry, yeah. He got in trouble for putting a bathroom.
Is that Chuck Berry or was it somebody he owned a restaurant?
Not Chuck Berry, Chuck Barris, I think it was, right?
I don't know.
The guy from Gong Show, Chuck Barris is the one.
No, it was like a black singer.
Oh, maybe it was Chuck. I thought Chuck Barris was
the same guy who used to like girls, I think, peeing on glass tables above him.
Oh, then that was Chuck Berry.
Yeah.
Three surprising facts about bathroom security cameras from February 28th, 2018. This is protectamerica.com. Are security cameras allowed in bathrooms? Three surprising facts. Bathrooms aren't allowed in areas where people expect privacy. If there's an expectation of privacy in an area, then you cannot have a camera. That includes things like commercial bathrooms and changing rooms, but it can be a gray area as well. What about a bedroom? Certainly the homeowner has an expectation of privacy in the bathroom, but other people such as nannies or house cleaners might not. One thing that isn't a gray area is that bathrooms are nearly always considered to be an area where someone can expect privacy, blah, blah, blah. Security cameras are not. Wait, I don't understand this fucking stupid website. Okay, this means nothing. Shannon, find out this information for me.
Hey, I'm looking it up.
Because I feel like if it's your own home... You know, if somebody comes into your home, I'm very paranoid. I assume that somebody's trying to fucking, you know, catch me doing some shit. I always assume there's a camera watching me. That's a Puerto Rican fucking thief in me that's been built into me for a long time. That I always assume that there's something watching me. And I'm like, all right, when somebody leaves money on a counter, like, Ralph, when I go to your house and you leave money out, mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, this is a trap. Ralph wants me to take
his money. It's always a trap, Lewis. I'm Jewish. For you, I'm just waiting for you to fuck up. It's a clause in our contract that you never read.
I really didn't, by the way. We didn't go over our new agreement the other day. I was supposed to with our accountant. So, regardless of all of this, now Starbucks has come out and issued an apology. They closed 8,000 stores last week because...
For racial sensitivity training.
No, is that true?
Yeah.
We live in a fucked up world. That's it. If someone is not buying anything, I don't think it matters. They should just be asked to leave. End of story. It makes no sense.
If they don't buy anything, I feel like they should be able to be beaten to death in the store. Do not take up two seats in my fucking store. Starbucks will close 8,000 stores for racial bias education on May 29th. It hasn't happened yet. Let's see. They're going to close 8,000 stores for racial education training.
We should all try and sneak our staff into the Starbucks here and get some free racial training.
You know, it would be really great if, like, the racial training is just to be able to identify different races.
As far as the bathrooms go, I'm just skimming a bunch of articles, and it seems like what they're saying is there can be cameras in the bathroom, but it can't be inside or pointing towards the stall. But, you know, the details vary by state, but it's saying as long as it's not in the stall, it can be in the laboratory.
But here's the thing. I would imagine, like it said, if it's a common area or a place that there's, like, in and out people, like our office, you probably can't put a camera in there. But in your own apartment, I imagine you could.
Well, that sounds like it's for business, but what about for a personal residence? Because just putting a camera, here's the thing, right? You get a two-way mirror, okay? Put the camera behind the two-way mirror pointing out toward the person. Women, they're checking their tits all the time. They're probably looking at their asses in the mirror, spreading their cheeks a little bit. Shannon, how many times have you been in a bathroom and you've actually, like, you know, looked at parts of your body in a bathroom mirror in a residence?
I'm like, fluffed my boobs or something. Yeah. I have.
Yeah.
What's fluffing your boobs?
Do me a favor, Shannon, really quick, just for education purposes, can you show us on camera what that looks like?
I don't know what fluffing boobs means, so please, Shannon.
No, I can just tell you what it is. It's when, like, a girl, like lifts them up in the bra so that it looks more, like, perky outside of the shirt.
Nice. Ah, shit. So, okay, yeah, but even so, like, I've done some freaky shit in bathrooms. I beat off in people's bathrooms. I fuck chicks in people's bathrooms. I feel like there's a lot of creepy, freaky shit you can catch. And if in New York State you can do that, I don't understand why more people aren't doing it. I bet you there are a lot of people doing it.
Why don't we put one in the camera, one in our bathroom and see what happens?
I don't know. Like, can we get people
bonus
to sign
content.
An agreement stating that they don't care about being filmed in any part of the house?
Let's just put that. They haven't signed the agreement yet. Let's just sneak that in there.
Why not? Sneak it into our rape agreement? Why not? So, yeah, dude, they're going to close all these stores for racial bias training. And it's just fucking so stupid. This is the culture that we live in, that now entire companies have to issue apologies and entire police departments have to issue apologies. And when it comes down to it, is fucking some assholes are just loitering in a Starbucks and not spending any money. And you should not be able to do that. I don't understand. You know, the first thing where they were like, we have to really look at our policy on this. It's like, what are you talking about? Because you're afraid of being called racist. Why don't you just go, oh, cool, it doesn't matter. We had no idea what color these people were. We know that they didn't spend any money in our store. And when we asked them to leave, they said no. Did you find that out, Shannon? Did they ask them to leave?
It doesn't say anywhere that they were asked to leave.
You are a fool!
I'm sorry. I'm reading a million articles about it.
Do your job!
I'm trying my best. It doesn't say they were asked to leave. It does say that they Starbucks did ask to use the bathroom.
What'd you say?
It does say that they were asked. They asked if they can use the bathroom, but since they didn't purchase anything, they were also turned down on that. That's the only extra thing I found.
Yeah, you know what they do when you ask to use a bathroom at Starbucks? They go, yeah, the code for the bathroom is on your receipt. The only way to get a receipt is if you purchase something, you fucking assholes. Yeah, all right, here we go. Okay, on Tuesday, Philadelphia police released a 911 call as well as police dispatches and other transmissions. A female employee at Starbucks called the police to report two gentlemen in my cafe that are refusing to make a purchase or leave. They're refusing to make a purchase or leave.
If it got to the point where they had to call 911, it does seem like there had to be something that happened before where they were asked or told they had to buy something or leave. It's not like they came in, sat down, and then two cops walked in and was like, blacks in Starbucks.
This is crazy. Get your guns out. Shoot them. Yeah, look, here's the thing. Was it confusing because one of the guy's names was Latte? I'm sure. But here's the thing. They're refusing to leave. Officers arrived at the Starbucks at 4:41, according to the tape. And at 4:44, officers requested backup and a supervisor for a group of males causing a disturbance inside the Starbucks. Stop driving me out of my mind right now. This is crazy. At least two cell phone videos captured the tense moment when at least six Philadelphia police officers stood over two seated black men asking them to leave. One officer said the men were not complying and were being arrested for trespassing. Why would they be asked to leave? Andrew Yaffe asked on video. Yaffe runs a real estate development firm and wanted to discuss business investment opportunities with the two men. Yeah, okay. So this is some fucking other black guy, I'm assuming, named Andrew Yaffe, who quote-unquote runs a real estate development firm. I would love to see this real estate development firm and wanted to discuss an investment opportunity with two people who will not buy a fucking coffee at a Starbucks. They're investors, and they refuse to buy a coffee at a Starbucks and are causing such a disturbance that you are fucking – the police have to be called on you. And this is supposed to be taken as a legitimate fucking business thing. Here's my problem. It's like, why can't you just call a spade a spade? Shut up, Zach. Why can't you just say, hey, we know what the fuck is going on here. Everyone that's looking at this knows what's going on. Starbucks knows what's going on. America knows what's going on. The news knows what's going on. Black Lives Matter knows what's going on. Everyone knows that these guys were assholes and were being fucking dickheads. And you cannot just say that. And that, to me, is more racist than anything else. To say, hey, we're going to just let black people act like assholes, which, to be honest with you, is not good for anybody. It isn't good for black people. It isn't good for white people. It isn't good for society. It's just giving them, because of white guilt and because of the temperature of society, you're giving them permission to take away the rights of others and to infringe upon the rights of others and to be intimidating and scary. And it's fucked up and it's dangerous. Six cops coming into a Starbucks where people are trying. I bring my kid into a fucking Starbucks all the time. You walk in there and now there's a huge, gigantic domestic disturbance because you guys won't buy a $2 fucking cup of coffee. Get the fuck out of here.
I found a video of the arrest if you want to see real quick.
Let me see. I would love to see it, Shannon.
What did they get called for? Because there are two black guys sitting here meeting me?
Yes, that is
the black. Well, what did they do? What did they do? Did someone tell me what they did?
They didn't do anything. I saw the entire thing.
They didn't.
What did they do?
Nothing.
And the woman says for paying customers after us to eat. They didn't do anything.
This guy has cornrows, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the other one had on sweatpants with the drawstring out. It's a business meeting.
Yeah, and so I'm assuming the white guy was the one who was saying he was the guy who runs a business development firm?
Yeah.
See, here's the thing. Here's really what I think happened. Maybe I'm being an asshole here. I think that fucking white guy, in all of his fucking lefty, liberal fucking fagginess, does actually run a real estate development firm and jumped in and went like, oh, yeah, I'm meeting them. I'm, you know, and then bullshitted and in the moment pretended that he was actually meeting these guys who were just being fucking assholes.
Also, the mistake was the cop said when the guy said, what did he get arrested just because they're black? He's an idiot. He goes, yeah, that's why they got arrested. He shouldn't have said that. That's just fueling the fire.
Oh, being sarcastic?
Yeah, being sarcastic, because that's going to be taken out of context, and you're just going to see it in a print somewhere. The cop says, yes, that's why they were arrested. That's just going to cause
problems. It's like my cousin Vinny. I shot the clerk. I shot the clerk. And then he said right there and then, I shot the clerk. And he repeated, I shot the clerk. Black guys, Starbucks. Starbucks, black guys.
I think we're watching Lewis have a breakdown on camera.
Hey, listen, guys. You're lucky I'm fucking calling in today. All right, let's get real.
I have good news for you, by the way, Lewis. I just got a text. Bobby and Harrington are officially bringing the couch into the studio as we speak.
Tell them to send us a picture so we can show it to everyone.
Yeah, it's going to be wrapped up. I don't think you're going to be able to do that.
I don't even remember what the fucking couch looks like, to be honest with you.
I did find out something I wasn't going to tell you, but I'm telling you now. I didn't know this until yesterday. It's a convertible couch, so you can sleep there. You can bang people on it.
What?
Yeah, I didn't know that until yesterday.
Shannon's now it's about to get fucking crazy.
Does the new studio have a casting couch?
Yeah, it really does. It officially has a casting couch. I'm going to be giving all these Russian girls shows on the network, but they have to come check out the couch first.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, man. Very excited. All right, gentlemen. Got to talk about one of our incredible new sponsors, which is BioCBD Plus. Right now, I am smoking out of this BioCBD Plus CBD vape pen. If you guys don't know what CBD is, it is basically marijuana without the psychoactive effects. So you're not going to get high. You're not going to get stoned. You're not going to get slow. You're not going to get silly. You're simply receiving just the medical benefits of CBD, which some of those benefits are it reduces anxiety, which is what I use it for. It fights inflammation. It's a natural pain reliever. It cures insomnia. CBD is one of these, you know, incredible substances that everybody from athletes to celebrities to movers and shakers are using right now. And I'm telling you right now, give it a try, because if this is something that you guys have been thinking about, I'm telling you right now, the universe has brought it into your life for some reason, one reason or another. Take my advice. Give it a try. I'm telling you right now, I've been using my CBD vape pen nonstop. I gave one to Kim. She loves it. She has major back issues. I have a child. I cannot walk around getting high with my kid all day. You know, so what I do is when I'm with my son, if I need to smoke a little CBD, makes me relax a little bit. I'm always working. I'm always have a lot going on. So it's a great alternative to getting high and getting stoned all day. I gave it to my 80-year-old aunt. She would never smoke weed. She loves it. Okay. She's 80 years old. She has constant knee and joint pain. This is literally what she's using. She says it's literally the one thing that has changed her life. Other pain medications didn't work. They were making her groggy. This is something that really, really helps with the inflammation, really helps with the pain. Here are some of the features of this specific CBD pen. It's 100% free of harmful chemicals or fillers. There's no artificial flavoring. There's no nicotine or THC. It's organically grown hemp. It's completely legal as well. If you have a drug test, or if you have to, you know, for your job, or you're not allowed to do drugs for whatever reason, this isn't going to show up on a drug test. This is all completely legal. So here's the deal, okay? What we want you to do is go to biocbdplus.com. That's biocbdplus.com, biocbdplus.com, and use the code RAP15, RAP15. That's all lowercase. You're going to get 15% off of any of their CBD products. They've got a number of great products. I'm a huge fan of this vape pen right here. I'm telling you right now, use it. You will love it. If you do not like it, hit me up personally. Let me know what you think of it. If you don't think that this thing is the shit, I'm telling you right now, I'll hook you up with something, okay? Just hit me up personally, tweet at me or email me, whatever you got to do. If you don't think that this thing is the shit, I'm going to tell you right now, I'll make sure you get, we'll take care of you one way or another, okay? Go to biocbdplus.com, use the promo code RAP15, all lowercase. You get 15% off anything they have there, and you help out the show, which is probably the best reason to do it. So, all right, let's get back into the show. Well, anyway, I'm in Atlantic City. I tried to get a massage this morning at my hotel at the Borgata. It was $190 for an hour massage, which is crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I ended up.
The service here, if you ever use, Trey use all the time, Soothe, where they come to your house and they bring a table, is $120.
Really?
Yeah.
But even that's kind of expensive.
It is expensive, but you can get codes that gets like 30% off, and if you know every so often you get a free one, so it ends up being not that expensive. It usually comes out to about $90.
So I do a $50 massage from a little Asian lady in New York City, and it's great. You know, $40, $50 for an hour. And then I went today. I was like, all right, I'm just going to find one in Atlantic City. So I got up this morning to go get a massage, and I got to the place, and it was a straight up whorehouse.
And how long did you stay?
I'd eat a half an hour. It was a straight up, like, not even pretending not a whorehouse. Like, the Asian girl that answered the door was dressed like a schoolgirl, and she was like an old, raggedy looking lady. You're like, oh my God. It was fucking horrible. A lot of people don't like, you know, getting massages. Zach, are you a massage guy? I bet you're not.
I've never gotten a massage.
I wonder if fat guys can get massages.
I think it's against the law. You know that
then it just wouldn't reach anything.
Yeah, I feel like the layers, you can't really massage fat. That doesn't feel good. Like, that doesn't, like, you have to massage the muscle. So you have to get through the fat in order to get to the muscle.
The thing I hate the most about it is when I get a massage, you have to then get dressed and come home. That's why I don't mind spending a few extra dollars, and I'm already home. I don't have to do anything.
Yeah, that is a very good point. Some people don't like massages. Some people don't like being touched. I fucking love it. I had a thing in California. Me and Kim were going to get massages, and there was we were going to Equinox, and they only had male masseuses available, and I can't do it, dude.
I cannot
let a man put his hands on me that way in the crevasses of my body and the cracks of my fucking, you know. It's not being homophobic. It's not even being anything. It's simply I won't be able to relax enough to really enjoy it. Like, I'll be way in my head that there's fucking dude's fingers around my body.
Do you think that's because you have deep-rooted fear that you might be gay and you can't let yourself relax? Because I prefer sometimes, because of the fact that I'm a big fucking dude, and generally girls are never strong enough to make it feel like I'm actually doing a dent to my muscles. It doesn't bother me at all. It's a dude.
Really? See, because my reaction to that is, do you think that you might be gay because you like a dude to finger your body?
Well, if he's fingering my body, then yeah, that's when I really enjoy it. Actually, I was in Iceland once with my brother, and we both got massages, and they only had two masseuses left. One was a girl, one was a guy, and my brother just couldn't wrap his head around about a guy touching him. So that's the first time I got a guy massage. I was like, oh, it actually feels better because they're stronger.
Yeah, but it doesn't count in Europe.
That's true. Anything that happens in Europe doesn't count.
Yeah, I mean, look, I've heard that as well. I heard that the dude's hands are fucking stronger and they actually are typically better at it. And I don't know if it's like a deep-seated fear of being gay. I mean, the reality is it's just, I think, you know what it is? I've had guys come on to me before and it's back. Not like, what'd you say?
So yeah, his back, his thighs, his tummy. top of his head like a fried egg.
No, but I felt like gay dudes try to like make out with me or touch me or fucking, and it feels, it's a different feeling. Like there's like a fucking whoa, like it feels so foreign and almost like icky to me. And I don't think that's a hateful statement. That's just truly like the way that I feel. Like when a dude,
you know, what's gayer than a guy touching you? Calling something icky.
It is, dude. I don't know what you want me to say, dude. Does this sound extremely like ignorant or like, cause it's coming out and I almost feel like this is just like me being honest about it. It's not, I'm not saying like, oh my God, you're a fucking gay dude. Go kill yourself. You're gross. I'm saying for me personally, it feels so foreign and strange.
And just icky.
What were you gonna say?
No. I said that. So I've only been hit on a dude twice in my life. Two dudes hit on me. And both times I took it as a compliment because it never happens to me. It actually made me happy.
Yeah, but being hit on is one thing. I don't mind a guy fucking hitting on me. Like, I had another steam room incident. Steam rooms are really becoming a problem now. I think that I need to figure something else out in my life because every public steam room I go to, it's fucking some gay dude is fucking trying to bang.
Yeah, you know, wasn't that, me off? That story? the Equinox. Yeah, exactly, in there. The Equinox said that they got to shut down the steam room because too many people were jerking off. And then I sent you that article, didn't I?
Well, wait, they shut it down? What do you
mean? They had to kick someone out because they were jerking off to guys or something in an Equinox.
Well, they just got sued recently. There was a guy at the one in Gramercy, the one on 33rd and Park, actually. I thought it was the one that I frequent the most, which is 19th and Broadway, but it's the 33rd and Park one. The steam cleared and these dudes were just jerking off at him, like beating off at him aggressively. Like that Chappelle joke. And he got out and he told the management of the club. And, you know, they sort of like laughed it off because, you know, it's fucking Equinox and there's a lot of gay dudes there. And it's known, like, there used to be Craigslist Casual Encounter, which doesn't exist anymore. I think they shut down, like, all of the hooker sites now.
They're all gone.
Yeah, so Craigslist Casual Encounter, there used to be gay dudes would just post, hey, dude, meet you on Equinox, West 76th Street, you know, 9 o'clock, come in, and we'll mess around. And then they just mess around. And I'm not even, to be honest with you, I'm not hating on the guys doing it because I'm sort of a freak and I'm sort of a pervert, right? So if there was a co-ed steam room and I was single, or if me and my chick were in a co-ed steam room, I could see us messing around and trying to get away with it, you know? And, you know, yes, it's disrespectful to the other people in the steam room because, you know, you have bodily fluids going everywhere. But at the same time, I get the freaky nature of like, hey, dude, let's do some shit in public. The problem is when it's done at you and you're not gay or you're not like into that shit, it does feel extremely, You know, it's the only thing that I ever can compare, like, just being a woman in life to, is when I get hit on by creepy dudes in towels in the steam room and they start, like, touching themselves. It's like, it feels, I feel like a fucking chick.
I know how you, I had my ass grabbed on the subway by an Asian businessman and I immediately froze up. Like when you hear girls, like, I didn't know what to do. I turned around. It was just this giggling business Asian businessman. And I was like, oh, my. Sir, I never.
I had it. One of the two times I was hit on, and this one wasn't really being directly hit on. I was on a train, and I had my headphones in. So they thought that I couldn't hear them because they thought I was listening to music. And they were talking about my ass and how much they wanted to lick it the whole time we were on the train ride. And it just kind of made me happy. I don't know.
Just made you happy.
Yeah, I have a different reaction to it.
Yeah, maybe a little bit, Ralph. You might be gay. Like, you're talking about me like my homophobia is gay. You are enjoying men touching your body.
They didn't touch me at all. I mean, I guess the massage, I don't know. Yeah,
and you're about men licking your ass. You're into this conversation. I'm not the person who, I know what it feels like to fucking have a dude come on to me like that. I just yesterday or 2 days ago, we got passes for the spa here at the casino. And there's, once again, dude, a gay guy comes in to the steam room, and he's just opens up his towel, sitting there. His dick is literally getting hard. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's doing a thing where he's like, you can't really call a dude out on his dick filling up a little bit. So he's just kind of like sitting there, and I'm going like, all right. And then he's looking at me and like kind of just touching his chest, like caressing it and just kind of staring. And then his hand will touch his dick for a second. And he'll pull it. He'll just tug it for a second. And I'm looking at him. I'm going like, dude, like, how do you not know that I'm not I look like a violent criminal. Okay, how do you know that I'm not just going to start beating you to death in this steam room because I'm so homophobic? We're in the fucking Jersey Shore. Like, it just seems like such a dangerous game to play. But it was to the point that he touched himself and looking at me that I had to literally say to him, I was like, dude, what are you looking at? What are you doing?
I think I might be gay because that whole story gave me an erection.
Yeah, I know. Seriously, Zach, Ralph is playing with his ass right now. Imagine him being licked by me and that guy. But and then I feel like, and then I have to feel like a hateful asshole because I'm like this homophobic dude saying, hey, buddy, what the fuck are you looking at? But it's like, if like, think about this, dude. If there was a woman on the subway, right? And there was a dude sitting across from her, just staring at her the whole time, kind of almost like touching himself a little bit, like maybe grabbing his dick. And she was like, hey, what are you doing? Literally like that. She wouldn't be called hateful. She wouldn't be called, she'd be saying, they'd applaud her and they'd go, yeah, you're right. You should do that. This person is making you feel uncomfortable. And for me, I feel this guilt inside to say something like I'm being this hateful asshole.
I just think we're all programmed that way these days. Like, to go back to what you just said at the top of the show with the black guys, is that we're all so worried that we're going to offend somebody that we can't say what we should be saying. Like, don't fucking hang out at Starbucks and not buy anything. It's just simple math, but we can't say that shit anymore.
Well, how about if you don't want guys jerking off at you, stop going to steam rooms. You have like 45 stories of guys jerking off at you in steam rooms. Stop going to the gay watering hole.
Doggy, I love steam rooms. What am I supposed to say? That's not fair, Zach. So hold on now. I'm supposed to not be able to steam. No, here's the truth. 85% of the time, there's not a man jerking off in that steam room.
I know, but what are you wearing?
Nothing. Just a towel.
You whore.
You're just asking for it.
Yeah, I mean, look, the other thing is like, these guys are, here's the other problem, right? I'm pretty fat right now. It's like, I don't look good in a towel. So like, you're just fucking pigs. You're just jerking off at any dude. It's not even like they think I'm pretty.
Is that the part that bothers you the most, that you don't feel pretty?
It really is. They don't make me feel special. It's like every time I come in there's some other fucking homo that's just beating his dick at me. And I'm going like, all right, guys, well, you know what? How about you be picky and choosy? It's just any dude that walks in here, you're ready to start whacking your dick to?
That's one of the things that I think is good if you're full on gay, because guys have much lower standards than girls. We'll fuck anything. So I think that would be a good thing if I was gay.
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
I'm coming out on your show, Lewis, basically.
Probably. You really are, Ralph. So you have a lot of gay tendencies, a lot more than I thought. So yeah, dude, that happened. And then the guy, when I asked him what he's looking at, he just went, oh, nothing, nothing.
Did that make you feel worse that he called you nothing?
What'd you say?
I said, did it make you feel worse that it referred to you as nothing?
No, it just kind of made me feel fucking guilty, like I was an asshole. And I shouldn't have to feel that guilt.
Is it predominantly known in Equinox steam rooms that are gay, or like is that just? Because I know that
the, I always thought it was New York sports clubs were gay hangouts.
Is that I don't know. Is that true? Is there anything to that? I know that the 10th Street Russian bathhouse in this neighborhood had to be shut down twice for gay sex happening.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. That Russian bathhouse is pretty nice, too. And that it's also really popular and co-ed, so it doesn't happen that often. But then what they do is during certain hours during the week, it's a really cool place. It's actually a really fun place to go with, like, a bunch of friends and comics. But during the week, they have certain hours that are not co-ed. So it'll be, like, all dudes during certain hours, all women. And because then you can get naked. When it's not co-ed, you can just walk around naked in the steam rooms and the saunas. And so I'm assuming when that happens, a bunch of gay shit happens. Look, you're around, you know, if I'm in a fuck, I've fucked in steam rooms and saunas a few times. It's hot.
Really?
It's hot. I've done it. I fucked a chick.
It's like 120 degrees.
A steam room in her building. Oh, it's literally hot. I had a chick with a steam room in her building. And then one time I was on the road in Canada, and the hotel had a sauna, and I brought this waitress from a comedy club back to the sauna, and we fucked in the sauna, and it was awesome, dude. It was really cool, so I completely get it. But yeah, I think the Equinox, here's the thing, you don't want to do New York Sports Club. New York Sports Club is like a fucking $50 a month dirty gym, right? Equinox is a higher level of cleanliness, so
you get the upscale you tickets, like, over there.
Well, yeah, you look, and the truth is, like, gay dudes are fairly set. In New York City, like, gay dudes, I guess it's not completely true, but if I had a guess, look this up, Shannon. I bet you gay guys make more money on average than straight guys in New York City.
They have a higher disposable income, that's for sure. That's known, higher disposable income.
Yeah,
they're not spending it on kids or gifts for their parents.
Exactly, or chicks. Yeah, just they don't have to take them out to nice dinners.
Yeah, but prep is pretty expensive, to be honest. So, what's more expensive, prep or a child? I wonder. I bet you prep's a really expensive drug. It's a drug that enables you to have AIDS sex.
Is that what it is? I never heard of it.
Now imagine how expensive it is to not give your child AIDS.
Ooh. Yeah, but gay dudes in New York City and LA, they're fairly savvy. They dress very nice. They're in shape. You know, they're going to spend more money on something like that. And if you're going to have sex, do you want to have sex in a fucking, like, a Motel 6? Or do you want to have sex in a fucking, you know, the Bogota? Or do you want to have sex in a beautiful, the W Hotel, right? So the Equinox is the W of hotels. Or you can go to a Motel 6. What do you think, if you have the money, you're going to want to go do? So I'm sure, the steam rooms... And I'm sure the steam rooms in New York Sports Club have gay shit going on in there, but those are the ones where there are AIDS bugs crawling all over the floor. Guaranteed, because those guys can't afford prep. Yeah, Shannon?
It says that that the idea that gay men make more money is a myth, and it says that the gap between...
That's how they say myths.
and their gap is huge. Yes, you're right, Shannon.
The gap is between 7 and 10,000 in the amount of income between straight and gay men.
It still means more, right?
Yeah, but that straight men are making that much more.
Straight men are making more.
Yeah.
Really?
We just have to spend it more. That's why we have more. They have, back towards it, a higher disposable income, so they don't have to spend. They can get away with a lot less.
Yeah, that's interesting. I would always assume that they did. What about lesbians? Do lesbians make more money than everybody? Here's what I want to do. What I'm searching for right now is a way to take another marginalized group off of the list that I should feel bad for. So if they have any advantage at all, like anything, like black people can play basketball better, I'm like, all right, done. You guys are off the list now. You got to leave Starbucks.
Does anybody feel bad for lesbians, though?
Not really.
Because they're like, they already have all the power of being a woman. Then they get to be extra marginalized, and then they kind of get some of the powers of a man.
Yeah, pussy eating, jaw strength.
It says lesbians make more money than straight women.
Oh.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that's because
it's also because women are going to be kept women, and lesbian women probably have to go out and work.
Yeah, that's true. And they're also probably... If I had to guess, lesbians probably work in jobs that are more male dominated fields. So I'm assuming there's not as many lesbian nurses and teachers as there are straight lesbians, whatever it is, you know, future sexuality almost like is a personality trait. If you look at like tomboys, you know what I'm saying? Like tomboys, I'm assuming get into more male driven type of jobs, and those jobs just happen to pay more.
Yeah. Like welders and coal miners and construction workers.
Yeah.
Plus, fucking the mullet moving is a very expensive haircut to maintain because you got to keep it short up top every 2 weeks.
It's true. How much do softball pitchers make? Bet it's a lot. Okay, look, we got another. What do we got? Another 10 minutes here?
I think so.
Yep, 8 minutes.
Oh, there we go. We're doing an hour today. Here, Shannon, let's get some questions going real quick, and then we'll wrap this one up. Shannon, let people know how they can join this conversation.
You can go to gomezcomedy.com, go to the contact section, and send an email with the title Real Ass Questions, or you can reach out to Lewis on Twitter at Lewis J. Gomez, or on Instagram, Gomez Comedy.
That's right. Today I'm going to take them all from Instagram. Shannon, you said people had questions in the chat?
That one question that I sent you. I didn't know if I didn't know if that's what you, if you wanted to answer it or not.
I'll answer it. What is it about?
Well, I texted it to you.
Oh, they want to know about Shaman? What happened?
Yeah.
I'm not really, it's not really my place to say. It wasn't our choice.
It wasn't a negative ending. They just chose not to continue the show. That's probably the best way to say it.
They might come back at one point. They might. I don't know if they'll come back to our network. I don't know if they'll go back to another network. I don't know if they even want to do the show together at one point. Right now, the show is, you know, not. They're not doing the show together. It's not like they just left and, you know, are continuing to do it. Right now, they're not doing the show together anymore. And it's not really.
And
my
it's
place
not. And also, it's not like we had. I think the thing thing to say is we didn't have an argument with them. There wasn't anything negative. They just elected to not do the show for now.
Yeah, exactly. So it wasn't anything negative at all. To be honest with you, I have always kind of had a special place in my heart for Shaman. I think the concept is great. I think those girls are fucking truly viciously mean, and they do something unique that other women aren't doing. Like there's no other chicks who are legitimately just trying to be mean and trying to find funny and mean. And that was the whole concept of the show. And I thought that they, you know, explored those topics, you know, in a very interesting way. Looking at it, whatever it was, whether you're a dude, a gay person, a magician, a comedian, they would break down what you should be ashamed about in that, you know, field. And you would sort of be, it's the same thing as interviewing somebody about their profession. You find out about being a magician, but you find out in a way where they're on their heels and they're defending it and they're embarrassed about it. And you're calling them on the bullshit side of it. And I think that's an interesting concept, and I think it's great. And, you know, I hope that they do decide to continue to do the show one day, and, you know, best of luck to them. So that's really all I got to say about that. Okay. Let's get some of these questions going. This is a good question because Ralph's on the show today as well, so I figure this is a good one to ask. This is from Parker X. Hollis, wants to know, what do you think was the best decision you made early on in the process to get Gas Digital where it is today? So, Ralph, I'll let you go first on that one because I think we'll probably have different answers if I had a guess, and I have to think.
It's funny because my answer is going to be both a good thing and a bad thing, but I think it's why we were successful, which was – in the beginning, really cutting corners, doing it in my second bedroom, me being the primary builder of the studio, just trying to keep it as shoestring as possible just to get the thing started. Why I think that's good is that we were able to start for literally, I think, a tenth of what people told us it would cost to start the network. Why it was bad was that we probably, in the long run, ended up spending more money than we would have had we put all that money in the beginning, but there's no crystal ball to know that it would have worked. So by allowing ourselves that leeway and that cushion to start with a small, really almost no money, is why we are where we are today, is how I feel.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's easier for me to look at like the mistakes and things that I would have done differently. There's a few things I would have done differently. I think I would have never made it confusing. I would have always done the live streams for free. Mm-hmm. That's a mistake I think we made. I think we realized very quickly that people weren't really paying for the live stream. You know, they're paying for the on-demand library. They're paying for it to support the shows. They're paying for
commercial free
to watch shows when they want to watch it. The live stream was a very select amount of people, you know, that were tuning into those live streams. And it wasn't something that I think was, you know, we didn't realize in the beginning that was going to be as much of a factor. And I think that kind of confused things for a little while. I think it's been an education process. I think to this day, people still don't 100% know that the live streams are free on Gas Digital. Sometimes I remember I tweeted recently, I was like, live streams are always free. And somebody was like, not always, fucking scumbags, you got to pay for it. And I'm like, whoa. I was like, no, they are always free. So I think that was sort of a mistake, but you live, you learn. The best thing I did, I mean, this is the truth. And, you know, I got to be honest with you. It is, you know, partnering with Ralph, that was probably the smartest thing I've done in terms of, the business and everything else. Because I initially, you know, when I had this idea, I was originally partnering with Stand Up New York Labs, sort of just the subscription side for what I was doing. And they were not responsive. They were like, no, we can't do it. And then when me and you decided to do this, it was such a big chance, you know, and it was, you know, who the fuck knew what was going to happen? We had no idea where it was going to go. And the reality is, once we got things moving and seeing the way that we work, you know, you really are the yin to my yang. And I feel like that, you know, we make really, really great, strong partners. And this is why in most things that I do, and I have other businesses that I run as well, I try to keep Ralph involved as much as possible, because his strength, what he's a superhero at, and what he has a superpower with, which is getting in there, looking at things under a microscope, coming up with multiple solutions in a smart way and making it work within a budget and making everything work. It's something that I just don't have that ability at all. Like I'm so bad at that. I'm much more of a big picture take a step back and look at everything. So Ralph can look at things under a microscope. I can step back, I think, and look at things from a very wide lens. And I think that counterbalance really works well for the business. And it is, in my opinion, the sole reason why the business is where it's at today.
Yeah, it's funny. So I've been, you know, as we all know, I'm the oldest person on the network, especially now that Bruce Buffer is gone. So I've had various businesses.
R.I.P. Bruce Buffer.
And, you know, I've had relationships with various business partners that I've, you know, you're always going to argue with your business partner, but you're the first one where I feel, as you said, a yin and yang, where we both say, oh, this is more of a Lewis strong suit, this is more of a Ralph strong suit. To this day, I don't think people realize that while everyone knows the Puerto Rican rattlesnake and the crazy side of Lewis, that you are the voice of reason when it comes to customers. And I think that I am not that person at all. And the fact that whenever we get emails, complaints, whatever, the fact that I send them to you 90% of the time, because I don't want to, I know if it's going to be a shitty answer, I just send it to you. And, you know, you always err on the side of the customer's always right. And it's funny how people don't see that side of you. Whenever we're on a business call together, whenever we're pitching ourselves or meeting with somebody, I always feel that we can 100% rely on each other, which is a great tactic to have.
Agreed. And that is sort of a philosophy that I do have. You know, we've been talking about, you know, a company like Equinox this whole show. And they're such a service-driven company. You know, when you walk in there and you're a member and you're paying to be a member there, they make you feel like you're fucking important. And in my opinion, I think that that's one of the most important things that you can do. I think service is probably the number one most important quality in a business. If you're dealing with customers or if you have to deal with people that are purchasing something from you, I think that, you know, I always, every single time, anytime you send me a complaint, half the time I won't even read it. I go, yeah, give them whatever they want. Give them whatever they want, because the reality is, who gives a fuck about a few dollars when you create an experience for a customer and they go, fuck that. Those guys cared about me being happy and me being satisfied. That's more valuable than a few bucks. It's so much more valuable, and it goes so much further. I have extreme loyalties. The way that I look at things, I'm extremely loyal to companies that I've worked with in the past that treat me right. I've been working with literally the same LB Graphics in Long Island City. They used to be on West 54th Street. They were across the street from Dylan's Lounge, which was a place that I started running comedy shows at. This is before I was doing stand-up comedy. This is 14 years ago. LB Graphics was a place that I would go across the street and I would print my tickets. The only reason I went there was because it was so convenient. It was across the street. To this day, I have a relationship with them. I'm on a first name basis with them. I call the guys over there. For Skankfest last year, they did all the printing. I didn't even look at other pricing, alternative pricing, because I don't give a fuck. It has nothing to do with the price. It has to do with the fact that I have a guy that I can call over there and say, hey, dude, what's going on? I have this thing going on. Can we make this work? And it's, you know, that's is so valuable to me to be able to pick up the phone. That's another thing that, like, you know, we've talked about this for a while. You know, I think companies really lose that that personal touch when they don't have somebody personally emailing them, when it's a ticket support system and they don't have anybody actually checking it and it's just an automated response every single time. There's something about that that's extremely impersonal. And I think that you need to have a conversation with somebody sometime and make them feel like a human being. I do that all the time with the fans, dude. I went to fucking breakfast yesterday with Nikki and Tim, who are two huge fans of the show. You know, we're hanging out, that, you know, we're smoking joints or whatever. We're going to, you know, for me, I'm like, I would rather have a conversation with somebody about life than, you know, and almost give them that experience and said, dude, a picture is one thing, an autograph, listen to the podcast. But it's like, I don't know, dude, like, let's sit down and actually talk and be people for once, you know. And there's something really valuable for me. And sometimes I do with the fans consciously. Sometimes I'm not even in the mood to hang out, but then I go, wait a minute, time out. That's a really valuable thing. When somebody comes out to a show and they have a real conversation and I'm actually talking about real shit that's going on in my life, and it's not just, oh, thanks for the support, here's a picture, move the fuck on. There's something that is, you know, is worth, you know, it's priceless, and you can't put any price on that. And I try to create those experiences. When you talk about Skankfest and what we're doing with Skankfest, that is the entire weekend of Skankfest, is that experience. You know, you come out and you're going to have real conversations and have a real experience with your favorite comics. It's much different than these other comedy festivals. Speaking of which, I'll take the opportunity to plug one more time Skankfest, May 5th, general sale. Tickets are going on sale. If you've not purchased tickets in the pre-sale yet, you are a fucking moron. Get them on May 5th. This thing is going to sell out. We have not announced a single performer yet. We're 40% through the tickets. Do not fucking wait. I'm telling you right now, the lineup right now is bananas.
Also, Lewis, you got to say that if you're a member of Gas Digital, you will be getting access to the tickets before they go on sale anywhere.
You get a 12-hour jump on everybody else, right?
Yeah.
May 5th at midnight for Gas Digital subscribers. So if you're a subscriber to the network, or if you're not and you just want to get the tickets, dude, get the free trial. You don't even got to fucking just get the free trial, then cancel it and get the tickets early. Oh, yeah. Shit. Put up. Can't be any more real ass than that, you know? So, yeah, do that. Skankfest is going to be crazy this year. I wish we could announce some of the headliners. I'm telling you right now, we have so many people returning, and then we have so many people that have never done it before. Some comics that I'm so excited to work with this year on it that really fucking have that spirit of freedom of speech and comedy. It's incredible. So let's see if we have any more questions.
Did you let everyone know that when the studio opens, Shannon will be manning the customer support / sex chat lines?
Yes, I did. Let's see. We'll do one more question. Okay, all right, here, we'll do this one. That's not bad. This is Brian_Alanese. He says, I'm an aspiring entertainer. Would it be worth it to move to a new city and live out of my car so I could start trying to hustle my way into the industry ASAP, or should I wait to find a place, job, etc.? That's a really good question. Zach, do you want to jump in first, because you're a young performer?
Yeah, I don't know how many people are going to want to work with somebody who lives in their car.
It's true,
but you're going to be a burden on the people that you do meet, because you're like, hey man, can I come over and shower? Like, I would say build a foundation first, because you can get funny in these little towns, man. Like, you can be the king of your little town and then travel a little bit
that
and meet
sense.
People. I think don't. Yeah, don't be homeless.
I don't like that he said, I want to get a job. I think I always say, like, Which, with the same thing with gas, like, I'm going in both guns a-blazing here. If you have a plan B, you don't have a plan A. So I think that it's what you said makes the most sense. Get funny in your hometown and build at least get good at it and then come to New York.
Yeah, here's the thing. If you're doing stand-up, I don't know about other scenes as much. I know a little bit about music, and I know a little bit about fucking, you know, other various forms of performance art. With comedy, you wanna come in and make an impression, right? So I think it always, like, Kim just moved here. She's been doing comedy for almost 5 years. She has sort of, you know, built a name for herself in LA and has got chops, and now she's gonna come to New York and become a beast. I'm telling you, she's gonna come and she's gonna fucking murder it, because she already has chops. She already has a little bit of a name, has a little bit of a Twitter presence. She has a foundation to come on. So
that's why you're with her.
So if, you know, here's the thing, if you're there, if you already have a little bit of an act and you're sort of already just thinking like, hey, dude, I don't have a job there. I don't know where I'm going to live. I don't have money saved up, but you have this little urge in you and you have this thing that's pushing you, you know, for me, I really do believe this. We are designed to survive. You'll be okay. You'll be okay. And to be honest with you, you'll probably push yourself that much harder because you don't have a fucking place to live. You don't have a place to shower. You know, what you can do, though, is you can go get a fucking, a Planet Fitness membership for $10 a month. You have a place to shower every day, free pizza on Fridays, right? And you're living out of your car, which sucks. Maybe upgrade to a van or something. I don't know. There's something about that, you know, Ralph said it. If you have a plan B, you don't have a plan A. There's something about jumping in, and when you jump, I've gone cliff diving before, right? In Jamaica, the first time I went to Jamaica, I went cliff diving, and you know, there's two ways to do it. You can stand on top of that cliff and stare down the 40 feet and freak out, like, am I gonna hit the bottom? Is there fucking stingrays in there? What the hell's going? Like, you can stand up there and waste 2 hours of your day, like I did, freaking out about this stupid cliff, or you could do like my friend Katie did. She didn't even look. She said, see at the bottom, and just fucking jumped. And she had a blast. At the end of the day, we got to the same place, ultimately. You know what I'm saying? But she had a lot more fucking fun doing it. And she took that chance, and it inspired me to take that chance. And the reality is, the people that inspire you as an artist are people who jumped in. Those are the people that lived in their cars and said, fuck it, dude. I have no money in my bank account. All those those great stories. No, nobody's ever fucking written story about a guy who put, you know, $60,000 in the bank first, made sure that he had his fucking 401k in order, made sure that everything was good, and then he said, I'm going to take a few years off and I'm going to see how it works out. That story doesn't exist, because
Rodney Dangerfield,
that guy doesn't make it.
Is
well,
it?
Right, yeah, all right, fine, but hold on, you're naming literally probably
no one. I know.
You know, and you're right. And that is one. And I don't even know if Rodney Dangerfield, I don't know how much of that story is that he saved money and did this. I know that he had a family to take care of. He had kids. Yeah, he wanted to make sure that his kids grew up first. I guess that was part of the story. So I would love to look into it. But I guarantee you, Rodney took a big fucking risk when he did it. You know, even at that point, you know, you to give that up, you know, was sort of a big risk in itself. But it's not. The story is never safety. You know,
James, and I guess James Altucher.
There are some. Sorry,
James Altucher.
That's also, yeah. But no, I mean, look, Altucher's a guy, you know, he has a very interesting story too. He goes out, right? He doesn't have an apartment. He literally gave up a place to live, and now he just rents out of Airbnbs and is like a fucking weirdo free spirit.
Oh, that's cool. Good for him.
You know, trying to do comedy and podcasting, and, you know, so there's a lot of chance and there's a lot of risk there. I'm not going to hate on anybody who's made money and who's made millions of dollars and who is successful. I'm just saying, there's something about the guy who's going to just jump in, and I would never discourage somebody from doing that. If you are sitting there going like, fuck, dude, I'm not happy with my life and I want to change something, and this is something that I could do that would really inspire me, dude, fucking slum it for a little while. Dude, I've slummed it. I've lived on couches. I've couch hopped. I've stayed on subways overnight. You know, it's I think that those things make you stronger in a weird way as well.
It makes sense.
Okay, well, there you go. That's our fucking show. That's our show. Shannon, can you do a little shake for the camera to end it up?
Fluff, Shannon, fluff, 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 fluff,
fluff, fluff.
No, sorry.
All right, that's it. Make sure you guys follow everyone on Twitter at ZachSatFunny, at I am Ralph, at I am Shannon Lee, at Lucia Gomez, at Real Ass Podcast, at Gas Digital. Take it over, motherfuckers. And I know a lot of people are asking about the 4 days a week. Listen, we start that studio, we open it up, Real Ass Podcast. We want to make this show happen more. I want to do it 4 days a week. So if you guys want it and we want it, we'll make it happen. You got to wait for it to open up, though. So we'll make some more now. The Real Ass Podcast.
C'est la vie. Adios. Good riddance. Fuck you.
That's all, folks.